This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
4 minutes after the hour, it's Wednesday, June 16th. Good morning, buenos dias, and welcome back to another edition of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Great to be with you once again. Thanks so much for joining us here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Keep in mind that Wednesdays is the traditional day dedicated to St. Joseph. Coming up in a few minutes, we'll be joined by Father Marcel Tyone, the pastor of St. Thomas More Catholic Parish in Narragansett, Rhode Island, and a regular contributor to Relevant Radio who will talk to us about the Liturgy of the Hours. Is this prayer of the church only for priests and religious, or can any one of us take it up? A little bit later this hour, Catholic speaker and author Kate Wicker, a wife and mother of five kids, will share how we can marble the saints' lives and virtues into family life. We'll also bring you another edition of Glenn's Story Corner. All that and more coming up this hour here on Morning Air. We start the day and we start each hour giving thanks to our Lord through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. Let us pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, of life, and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, in this year of St. Joseph, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit when we pray, Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we continue to pray for peace and unity in our nation as we've been doing for such a long time. We especially pray for our shepherds, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, which are meeting virtually today in their annual spring meetings. And we always have for you here at the start of each hour a power scripture from the Playbook of Life, which today is from Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race which is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. The author of the letter to the Hebrews reminds us that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. These witnesses are the communion of saints. These are the Hall of Famers that have finished the race, the best of the best. Picture them. They're cheering. They're cheering us on. They're on the sidelines. They're praying for us from heaven to finish the race, to finish with perseverance, always keeping our eyes fixed on our Lord Jesus Christ, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And we finish praying, Jesus, I trust in you. Our number, if you want to be part of the show, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, when you think and you hear the word liturgy, what comes to mind? Well, of course, the Mass. But did you know that the Liturgy of the Hours is also known as the Divine Office? And that is also liturgy. And lay people are invited to pray the liturgy. And if you're up early enough, you can pray morning prayer at 4 a.m. Central with Paul Sadek on Daybreak here on Relevant Radio. Believe me, I'm up and I catch it every morning. I don't catch all of it as I'm getting ready for this show. You can always listen to the podcast on the Relevant Radio app. Now, the Office of the Sacred Congregation for Divine Worship says, quote, from ancient times, the Church has had the custom of celebrating each day the Liturgy of the Hours. In this way, the Church fulfills the Lord's Prayer precept to pray without ceasing, at once offering its praise to God the Father and interceding for the salvation of the world. Are you someone who prays the Liturgy of the Hours? Hours. If you'd like to share your experience of praying the Liturgy of the Hours, call us, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. And now joining us to share more on the Liturgy of the Hours is our spiritual director today, Father Marcel Taillon, the pastor of St. Thomas More Catholic Parish in Narragansett, Rhode Island, and a Relevant Radio regular contributor. Good morning, Father Taillon. Welcome back to Morning Air. Always a blessing to be with you.
And likewise, and greeting to all our listeners today, and I'm really happy we're choosing this topic to hopefully share some insights about and some experiences that people have had in this tremendous tradition in the church that is Liturgy of the Hours. So great to be with you.
Well, Father Taillon, first of all, can you explain to us, can you define a liturgy and why it means both Mass and the Liturgy of the Hours?
Certainly. So liturgy is whenever, obviously, when the work of the church is prayer. And, you know, obviously the most important thing we can all do is to pray. And obviously the Mass and the Eucharist is the height, source, and summit of our life. But I think a lot of Catholics aren't aware of the Liturgy of the Hours. And Liturgy of the Hours is really, I mean, every priest and religious commits to do that five times a day. And you might, maybe you've seen it before, but there's a one volume Liturgy of the Hours, and then monks and sisters and priests that are committed to this have what's like a four-volume set. Sometimes you see, maybe you've seen a priest or religious carrying a black book around or a book that looks like a Bible. It's got ribbons hanging out.
Got it here sitting on top of my anchor desk, Father Taillon. In fact, it belongs to my wife who has been a lay Dominican in the past, and so we have the full volume. And I tell you, you really got to know what you're doing to manage your way through these four volumes. You got to know how to use the ribbons and how to go from one part to the other.
Yeah, so obviously a lot of people think we're carrying a Bible when they see religious or priests or even lay people carrying that. But it is intimidating at first. I think you touch on a good point. So it's sort of, you know, there are little cheat sheets you can buy as to what section on what day. Cause it's a four-week cycle that goes through, and there's different psalms and things are assigned. So what's the reason for the Liturgy of the Hours? It punctuates and sanctifies the different hours, literally, of the day. So it's really good, right? Sometimes people pray the Angelus at noon and 6 o'clock, and they're punctuating, remembering the Incarnation, invoking Our Lady at certain times of the day. So obviously there's cycles and seasons to our lives, to the liturgical year, but the Liturgy of the Hours goes even deeper in that it kind of flows from the Mass and goes back to the Mass. The prayers of the day are the same ones that are the saint or the Mass of the day, what we call the collects or the prayers. So there's an incredible connection, but it is intimidating. So I'm just going to be honest with our listeners today. And it's fascinatingly, it's beautiful. I encourage you to take it up, but don't be intimidated by the sort of the number of pages. And I remember going in seminary, one of the hardest things about joining seminary or a religious community, if you don't know what the Liturgy of the Hours is, you go in, everyone's sort of in this book when paging back and forth like a routine, and I remember distinctly being overwhelmed and a little bit feeling almost embarrassed, like, oh my gosh, I don't even know how to do this. And still, I use the cheat sheet today, and there's these little directions you have, and some people do it on the phone, and they kind of, there's apps like that, and Relevant Radio has things, and they can sort of scroll down, but I love the book itself, having all the volumes in front of you, and having all of that is part, I think, of the deep experience of it, and you do get, you really get kind of your books. The books I've had are with me all my life. They're worn and they're very, I'm close to them in a sense. There's a great a spiritual sentimentality because you've been praying for the people of the church. So Liturgy of the Hours of the Church at Prayer, and you think about it right now around the world. Think of how many Catholics are praying Liturgy of the Hours. And Pope Francis, if you're on the East Coast of the United States, he prayed 6 hours ago. He prayed the morning prayers, what we call the Office of Readings, the deeper, longer readings about the day or the feast. And then you're joining in. I remember distinctly in seminary, living in Rome, we were traveling and we were in the middle of nowhere at some church. And we went in and the priest had the same book we had in German. We were in Austria, I believe, in Germany, and this priest opened his book, we opened our book, and we actually prayed together the Liturgy of the Hours. He spoke in German. It's all the same thing. If you're doing the right thing, it's all the same thing everywhere. It was such an experience of Liturgy of the Hours for him because he was praying the same things we were in another language. It was such an experience of the universality of the church's always at prayer. So maybe you don't feel like praying some days, regular prayer, maybe you're having a bad day, you can think of the lay people, the priests and religious, the church is praying all around the world, this extraordinary gift that is Liturgy of the Hours or the Breviary, and that is going on all the time. It's really for the sake of the world and the church. We pray for the church, so it's not a selfish prayer. It's for others, and it enters one into the liturgical cycle or seasons of the year in a much more deep and profound way. So if you're listening today, you don't know what a breviary is, you don't know Liturgy of the Hours, I'd encourage you to get a single volume. People that subscribe to Magnificat and other of those kinds of books, they have pieces of it inside. I've seen, you know, Magnificat's a nice way to start to have pieces of it in there, but you can get a one volume set, get the guide, the little cheat sheet that comes with it. Don't be intimidated, and it's a great way to enter more and to prepare yourself for Mass, and also, like your wife does, I mean, lay people have committed spiritually to praying some of the hours of the day. Deacons pray 2 of the 5 hours. Priests, religious pray 5. And it's an amazing thing, and it's an amazing ebb and flow that prepares us and again punctuates our mornings, our nights with the Lord, joining many other people around the world. So it's the church is always at prayer, and it deepens our experience of Mass. It prepares us for that. It delves into the writings. There's 2 readings in the morning. One's from Scripture, and the other one is a writing of a saint or a church father. You end up reading from the early centuries of the writings of the church one day. The next day, it's, you know, Thomas a Kempis, Imitation of Christ, we know what that is, or St. Francis de Sales, these very insightful things. So there is such a wealth of that. But the thing is, you never pray the office alone because you're always with others. So monks chant that. People know what Gregorian chant is. Sometimes people don't really know that the Gregorian chant is the Liturgy of the Hours being sung, sometimes in Latin or other languages, and it's so soothing to hear that. But oftentimes people don't know that's the Liturgy of the Hours being chanted. When they go to a monastery of nuns or monks, so nuns and monks are not the same always, as really they live in a stable community, and their work is prayer. Oftentimes that a monastic community will be really centering their life around the Liturgy of the Hours and especially the Mass, but they chant it, and they chant so beautifully, and most of us pray it alone or pray with another priest or seminarian or another lay person or a little group, but sometimes people even gather lay groups together to pray them before or after morning Mass. You might see that, so be on alert. It's not always a Bible people are carrying it. There's a lot of Scripture in the breviary, right? It's full of the Scriptures, but it's just people do wine tasting or food tasting. The Liturgy of the Hours is a tasting of the Church Fathers, the Psalms especially, the biblical writings, the biblical Scripture. So it has everything, but just, I encourage you to try it, and don't be intimidated by the book and the flipping the pages, but to really go in there, and if you've never, ever done a breviary, you don't have a breviary, just try to obtain a one volume and start there. Maybe visit a local monastery, or if you know lay people that pray the breviary, ask them what that's like. Or maybe if you're listening today, you've had good experience around that, or you're just discovering it perhaps, or, you're not really sure much about it, but it is a great gift, and certainly it's an obligation for us as priests. We commit to pray that. It's one of the promises, and people know about celibacy, obedience to the bishop, but the third promise a Dacian priest makes is to pray the Liturgy of the Hours, which is a heavy lift. It takes a lot of time. It's a commitment. We do it for the people of God, that our spouse, which is the church herself, the people of God, and we pray that for her. And again, I loved seminary because I used to pray it in common with a lot of people together, and the singing is wonderful, but we join in that universal prayer of the church when we pray it even alone. So encourage you to get to know what it's about. If you don't know what it is, I just really, really encourage you to discover that. We say we have summer reading. It's summertime where we are, and I think it's important to maybe make that a summer goal, to discover Liturgy of the Hours and to see what that's about and see if the Lord might be calling you to start incorporating that. Sometimes morning and evening prayer is the best place to start, or what's called Compline or night prayer. It's a short prayer of the day. You examine your conscience, then you pray these wonderful prayers that in the evening, and pray that before you go to bed. Again, the office is usually prayed in the morning, the longer one. As you mentioned, I don't get up at 4 o'clock to pray with Ralph Radio. I do it later. True confession.
You can always go to the podcast, Father.
That's right. I do it later. That's right. But it's a great thing. So it's a great topic because I think it's unknown by a lot of lay people. It's too bad. I think we just need to have it discovered. And also even, I think the tradition of listening to the monks praying, we have some monasteries here, Wrentham, Massachusetts, the Sisters of the Trappistines. I go up there sometimes and just, you can just slide into a monastery, a monastic community, and just experience it there if you have one in your diocese or where you live, or if you know a religious community that lives together in common, they would ordinarily pray that together. And like your wife, again, some lay associations when they meet will pray the Liturgy of the Hours. So it's a wonderful, wonderful thing, and it's diverse. It changes every day, and you go back and you cycle through all these readings, and every year some different readings will come up, and you remember praying it 2 or 3 years ago and what struck you then. It's almost like a marker on your life, because Liturgy of the Hours responds, the Psalms, some are joyful, some are sorrowful, and sort of the writers, it really, the Psalms are a large part of this. This comes from the Jewish tradition, right? In the Jewish tradition, people, Jesus knew the 150 Psalms. He prayed them. The Holy Family knew them. They would pray them. So the church, born in Jesus Christ, has really developed about Christ, coming from that Jewish tradition, the chanting and the recitation of punctuating, marking, I should say, different sanctifying parts of our days, that we know God is with us always while we're sleeping and we awake. We make that time for Him, and the Liturgy of the Hours gives that, it sanctifies that time for us. Now, if you're a busy mom or dad, or you're busy at work, again, maybe sometimes in the morning is a good time to start Liturgy of the Hours. Sometimes people have more time if they make time in the morning to get up. That's a solid time where usually they can get more done if they're going to try something like this, something that's going to develop like a habit, a repeated thing we do that's good. And again, I think summertime's a great time to discover the liturgy and Liturgy of the Hours. And I would encourage everyone to buy a one-volume breviary and have that, and maybe ask someone to teach you. Maybe your clergy, your priest can teach you. Again, it's not that overwhelming, but it's a little intimidating at first. But once you get into it, it's an incredible thing, and it leads us to the Eucharist. It leads us into deeper liturgy of the seasons of the year, and it's a fantastic way to pray that's always readily available. So, again, I think it's a great topic. It's one of the great secrets of the Church is Liturgy of the Hours, and I think people are not as aware as they could and should be about it unless they already know. So great topic today. Appreciate you.
Without a doubt. And Liturgy of the Hours is so rich in scripture, tradition, church fathers. It's there's so much good stuff in there. It's like a smorgasbord. You don't know where to begin. I want to invite our listeners, if you currently pray the Liturgy of the Hours, and you'd like to share what that experience is like, give us a call, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. We're joined by Father Marcel Tayon, our spiritual director today, the pastor of St. Thomas More Catholic Parish in Narragansett, Rhode Island. Father, for you as a pastor of a church, and for priests day in and day out, how challenging it is at times, as busy as you get, how challenging to be able to fulfill that obligation, those five times a day that you're required to pray the Liturgy of the Hours?
It's a great question. So it's one of the great, it's not always easy to do it, right? We just get busy. The day gets away. How many hours do you pray in the morning? Can you punctuate? This is what's called daytime prayer. So sometimes, totally honest, it's really hard to get it done because especially if you're out in an active apostolate, whatever it is, things get going and you need to do it. So it is, I don't like the word burden, but it's a great responsibility. It's an enormous responsibility, and it's something that faithful priests and religious have committed to do. So, you know, it's important, again, celibacy, obedience, and prayer. It's the prayer of the church. And some days it's not easy because you're just going all over the place, got weddings or funerals and pastoral appointments, responsibilities. You're praying and you're preparing your homilies, but you need to make the time to do it, be faithful to that promise. So it's an enormous responsibility, and it takes a lot of time and energy for priests to do it. So, you know, I think it's something we promised to Jesus to do for the people of God and the church. I also think it's good for us because it's a discipline. So it's a lively, loving call to prayer. Again, we do it with others around the world, but it is something we've promised to do. A lot of people think some people think celibacy is sort of such a hard promise. And honestly, if someone has a, you know, a celibate heart and is a spiritual father or spiritual mother, and has beautiful experiences with that, the Liturgy of the Hours is often the promise that's the hardest, in a sense, or the most demanding on a day-to-day basis, because it's the one that's all day long and all night. We always have to do these prayers we've promised to do. So it is a challenge, but it's always a gift, because, there's always some part of the liturgy that always touches me and many of my friends I know. It's very moving when it speaks to even the apostolates that we all have. And that's the same thing for lay people. People have a lay apostolate, right? If you're a mom or a dad, grandmother, grandfather, son or daughter, if you have ministry, whatever your ministry is in your parish or whatever you're doing, that apostolate, it will be touched. If you start the Liturgy of the Hours, it'll also prepare you for Mass. I just find it's extraordinary that, again, all the prayers point to, we have certain parts of it where it highlights the gospel for Sundays on Saturday night and Sunday morning, Sunday night. So there's a cycle of lectionary readings, and they change. So it's a foreshadowing, getting you ready for the gospel on Sunday. It'll come up in the prayers of that particular Sunday, that particular feast day. And the writings, if it's Corpus Christi, it'll all be the writings of Thomas Aquinas or Church Father on the Eucharist. So it's amazing. And again, July and August are the best time to start Liturgy of the Hours, because the saints in the summertime, it's amazing. I find July and August have the best saints on the church's calendar. And their writings are part of Liturgy of the Hours, so you just get these magnificent treasury every day of all the saints. So you keep up with who the saints are on the calendar, but you also get their readings in the morning, and it's a powerful tool. So yeah, and it's hard to do. I think priests and religious that will be honest with people, it's a responsibility. And sometimes it's really hard to crowbar the breviary into a day, especially if the day's gone wild. But we do it, and we do it out of love, and we do it. And it's always a help. It's the wisdom of the church. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit, and it's living out our commitment for God's people, and it always feeds us, even when it's particularly hard to find time to do it. I did, had great prayer this morning. Liturgy of the Hours was great today, and it's getting me ready for Mass later on today, and it's just a gift. So, great question, I think we need to pick up the breviary, discover it, get into it, and it'll make Mass better for all of us, whoever does it.
No question about it. It will deepen our prayer life, and as you said, Father, get us ready for Mass. And this is a gift that we always have not been able to do as lay people, because traditionally over the centuries it was not required for lay people. But now lay people can also pray, just like the priest and the religious. 30 seconds, Father.
Yeah, so again, I encourage everyone to pick up the breviary and to get there's a little guide you can get, and maybe you want to discover it. Maybe you want to start on the phone and just take a look at it and see what it's like for you. Maybe you buy but I think you should buy the single volume breviary and start with morning prayer or evening prayer, and then what's called night prayer. That's the best place to start: morning prayer, evening prayer, and compliment, what's called night prayer. And don't get overwhelmed. Just try one of the 5 hours and start that as part of your routine in the morning. It'll have scripture for you, and it'll set you up and keep you grounded. It certainly keeps me anchored, and I appreciate in my life. It's a great part of my own relationship with Jesus, and I hope it is for you too, or will become that. So I encourage you, and amen to that. Great, great topic.
Amen. Today. Father Tyone, thanks so much for your insights on the Liturgy of the Hours. It's been outstanding. Father Tyone, our spiritual director today, the pastor of St. Thomas More Catholic Parish in Narragansett, Rhode Island, and a regular contributor to Relevant Radio. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, Morning Air contributor, Catholic speaker and author Kate Wicker, a wife and a mom of 5 kids, will share how we can marble the saints' lives and virtues into family life. Stay with us. Much more to come on this edition of Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
From Maui to Maine, you're listening to Morning Air with John Morales, coast to coast on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
33 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air on this Wednesday, June 16th. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us. Always great, always a joy to be with you in the morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Coming up a little bit later this hour, we're going to have another episode of Glenn's Story Corner. Our number, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, as Catholic Christians, our final goal is to get to heaven, to live a holy life and perhaps even become a saint. We are called to be holy, to be saints. A saint is nothing more than a sinner that kept on trying, according to a very wise man that I heard a while back. We have the examples of so many saints, saints that at some point were just regular people like you and me, but by their perseverance, their tenacity, they became spiritual Hall of Famers of our faith, the best of the best. How can we imitate them and incorporate their virtues into our family lives, into our daily lives? Joining us now is Morning Air contributor Kate Wicker, who is with us from Athens, Georgia, to talk about how we can marble the saints' lives and virtues into family life. Kate is a journalist and a speaker. She's a wife, a mom of five kids, bibliophile, a fitness enthusiast, eating disorder survivor, and a perfectionist in recovery as well. As a Morning Air contributor. Good morning, Kate. Welcome back to Morning Air.
Good morning, John.
It's a joy to be with you for the first time since I took over the show. It's really a joy to talk about this issue, this topic of what we can learn from the saints in our family life.
Yeah, the saints to me are just, I feel so blessed to be a Catholic, to have this miscellany, as you were saying, these ordinary people that did some extraordinary things, but a lot of them, just it was the ordinary sacrifices that we all face every day, the little things, the little offerings that led them the rungs of the ladder up to heaven. And I feel so inspired as a mom to share those stories with my kids, because I think any child with any different type of temperament or interest can find a saint or more than one saint that they can really relate to and can help them to achieve that kind of holiness that we all desire.
And Kate, before we talk about our great tradition of saints, what's it like for you as a mom of five children, which means that you have five opportunities to have a saint in your very own family?
Yeah, I mean, one thing that is also beautiful is when I had suffered a miscarriage, I remember a friend telling me, you already have one child in heaven now. And that was just such a comfort to me during that difficult time in my life, to have that beautiful reminder that's my job here. I am nurturing souls for Christ. I joked once that I'm CEO of Souls Incorporated.
I love it.
Yeah. So, it's a huge, sometimes intimidating privilege, but it's something that I'm so blessed to have the opportunity to be on this journey with my children. So, yeah. And the saints, they just have inspired me so much. I have a really cool story, actually, from this weekend. My oldest, for her sweet 16 birthday party, or birthday celebration rather, my mother-in-law gave her a necklace that my father-in-law had given her while they were dating. And my father-in-law sadly and unexpectedly passed away a few years ago, our beloved Pop. And so this necklace was very, very special to my daughter, and she lost it. And we looked all over the house. We could not find it. It's been several weeks since it's been missing.
And I know the feeling. I know what that feels like when you lose something that's really precious. I lost a prayer book that went missing for 2 weeks. In fact, I was so out of my mind, I ordered a new one, only to find it later that day.
Yeah.
In a similar fashion. I'm not going to give it away. Continue with your story.
Yeah, and this was something that was irreplaceable. And so I remember when she first told me she was missing, we looked all over, I said, the little St. Anthony prayer, St. Anthony, St. Anthony, look around, something's lost, something needs to be found. You know, we said that. And then we kind of honestly gave up hope because it had been so long and it was a very delicate little necklace. Well, she was getting ready for Mass this past Sunday, and she came upstairs and she said, you notice anything different? And I looked at her, and then she pointed to her neck and she was wearing the necklace. And I said, oh my gosh, where did you find it? And she said, Mom, it's so weird. I was thinking about how sad it was that I couldn't find it and how badly I wanted to find it. and I looked down, and it was on the laundry floor, in the laundry room floor. And as a mom of five kids, like you said, I do a lot of laundry. And so the fact that I hadn't noticed it there and she hadn't noticed it, I mean, it was just so crazy. And then what's really crazy, as I wasn't even thinking about it at the time, but then I get these little saint emails, and I was reminded that June 13th is St. Anthony's feast day. So she found this beautiful necklace because I said, well, St. Anthony came, it, you know, he came through for us once again. And it was just such a touchy, I mean, I get goosebumps when I talk about it.
Awesome.
Because it was, yeah, just such an awesome example of how, and, you know, things don't always work out that perfectly when we pray to the saints. But I think it's just an awesome example of how they are our friends. They're not these unreachable, unattainable, this unicorn in the sky, but they are friends of God. And just as we would ask a friend to pray for us, we can ask these friends, these holy cloud of witnesses, to pray for us.
I love it. St. Anthony comes through yet again in dramatic fashion with your daughter. That is an awesome, awesome story. And again, it's such a small thing, but it's the little things that add up, and we can always count on reaching out to the saints to help us. Just as an addendum to my story that I alluded to, I lost this beautiful prayer book that's from 1941, The Key to Heaven. I mean, there's only a few of these that still exist, and I've had this for a long time, and it just disappeared into thin air. I didn't know what happened to it. I thought I had left it at church in the pew. No idea. So sure enough, I did pray to St. Anthony, just like you, Kate. And sure enough, I find it in my son's bedroom on top of his bookcase. I had apparently laid it down to pray with him, as we always do before bedtime, and I did not realize I had left it there. And for 2 weeks, I thought it was gone and missing, but I prayed to St. Anthony, and it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing that I was able to find it. So I'm sure some of our listeners have their own stories, great saint stories where the saints have come through for them. If you want to share your saint story with us, if you have a question for Kate about devotion to the saints, give us a call. 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We're joined by Morning Air regular contributor Kate Wicker, speaker and journalist, and more importantly, a wife and mom of five kids, talking about the saints and how we can bring the saints into our family life. Kate, talk about when we ask God for a particular intention, and sometimes we don't see the answer. It's so common to want to look for a sign. How can we trust the Lord more and more that he knows exactly what he's doing, that he's allowing things to happen for a reason?
I think one of the things we can do is always remember the past and points in our life when things did seem confusing and things weren't answered, and how it did all work out. Like, I look back in moments in my life when I might have been heartbroken about something or something awful happened, and then to kind of look back years forward and say, but here's the joy that came from it. Even, you know, I mentioned that we lost one of our grandparents unexpectedly when he was pretty young of a surprise heart attack, and it was very, very difficult. But some of the silver linings have been that how much we've cherished and really lived in the moment with the grandparents that we still have with us. Sometimes when they tell us a story where, as we may have been rushed before, we really want to listen now and to remember that they have a history that we want to learn about while they're still here. So there's always these little silver linings. So I think sometimes looking back, that can help. Also just knowing to pray, what I do a lot of times is if I have a specific petition that maybe isn't working out, then I try and pray to God and think about, again, the saints and how I need to pray for God's will in my life, not necessarily what I think should happen. And then also ask God to open my eyes and open my heart to his grace and accept that there is a reason, there is a purpose for this. You know, I even think back on the 2020 and what a difficult year it was, but also the blessings I had of having sort of this crazy world come to a halt and just so much more time with my immediate family, my children. You know, we weren't always on the go, and what a blessing that was. And
And now that everything is kind of crazy again, I want to be sure that I don't get back into autopilot where I'm just kind of going along. So I just think there's so many ways to look back and see that we have these blessings. And sometimes God does give us signs and we don't even notice them right away. I mean, I always have said I want the big billboard, you know, with the light bulbs around it that says, Katie, this is what you're supposed to do, or, you know, but that doesn't really happen. But there are these little divine nudges that I get throughout the day and throughout my life. And I just have to be still and listen long enough to kind of see them. There was one moment in my life, another saint that just kind of blew me away. I have a specific prayer that's been on my heart for years, and it still hasn't, what I want to happen has not come true. It's for a conversion of a loved one. And one particular day I was just feeling very distraught and upset about it. And this is was a few years ago when my children were still, I didn't have as many teenagers in the house, and I had a bunch of little ones, and my day was kind of reduced to mundane tasks of cutting food up into choke-proof bits and pieces and just kind of going through the motions of being a mom of little ones. And I had really turned to Saint Therese, the little flower, because she wanted to be a saint like Saint Joan of Arc and go into battle and do great things, but that wasn't God's plan for her. So she decided that she would just take up daily sacrifices and do ordinary things with a lot of love and just make love and offering up her ultimate goal. And I just read the story of the soul, and I was thinking about how she showers roses and on people who pray for her. And I just prayed for this particular petition. I said to Saint Therese, I said, you know, this, I want this conversion to happen, and just help me to offer all these little things up that I do as a mom for this conversion. And if you can, maybe give me a sign. And then I just kind of went on with my day, and the doorbell rang at one point, and I opened the door, and there was a flower delivery person with a bouquet of roses. And I mean, wow. I was just shocked, because it wasn't Valentine's Day or my anniversary or anything. It was an ordinary day. They were. And my husband had just, and he, you know, he's a wonderful husband, but he doesn't do just because roses typically. And so it was just this crazy thing. And I wish I could have more moments like that, but I just have to, you know, I've always been one of those people that thinks, why can't I have a vision or something like that? But I think God does give us signs, and there are these beautiful moments, and we have to hold on to those when we're facing spiritual dryness, or when we feel distant from God, or we feel like our prayers are being unanswered. We have to think back on the moments when we did feel close to God, or when we did feel like our prayers were being answered.
Well, Kate, it sounds to me like St. Therese, the little flower, the prodigy of miracles, smiling at you from above. Great, great story about St. Therese. We're going to take a short break. We want to encourage our listeners, if you've experienced a miracle moment, a saint story, give us a call, 888-914-9149. Bernadette, hold on. We'll get to you right after this timeout. We're going to continue to talk with Catholic author and mom, Kate Wicker, about the saints, how we can marble the saints' lives and virtues into our family life. Stay with us. This is Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
And Morning Air continues. I'm John Morales, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. We're talking about the saints and their influence in our lives, especially in our family life, with Kate Wicker, speaker and journalist, wife and mom of five kids. Kate, this is a topic that is getting some of our listeners to want to chime in. We have Bernadette calling us from Philadelphia this morning. Bernadette, welcome to Morning Air.
Thank you, John. Thank you for taking my call. Hi, Kate.
Hi.
I have a St. Anthony story. My children know, if anything, I have four grown children and six grandkids. And if anything's lost, they're call mom, she can find it. So we found hockey sticks that were, you know, blew out of the truck on the way to college, everything from St. Anthony found them. Well, this one time, my kids all saved up to buy me a designer pocketbook for my birthday. And here it was fallen out of my car. So I said to my daughter, I'm going to get it back. And I said, you know, St. Anthony's going to find it. So 3 years go by, and me and my girlfriend are on our way to a parish for a healing service for our girlfriend that had cancer. And my girlfriend had also lost a card that had brought her comfort when her daughter had died. So, and she was saying St. Anthony. So we said, you know, I guess we got to give, we were ready to give up. It was like 3 years later for both, it was a lot of years later for her, for the prayer card, and 3 years later for me. And here we came home. I'm having dinner with my kids. It's a dark, rainy, stormy night. And my daughter said to me, so are you going to give up on that St. Anthony on that? I said, well, maybe St. Anthony wanted somebody else to have it. I said, so I'm okay with that too. So here the doorbell rings, and there's this gigantic cop at the door dangling my pocketbook from his finger. And my daughter answered the door, and she starts hollering, no, no. And the cop starts looking at her like, what is wrong with you? And the car is full of mud, the pocketbook's full of mud and everything, but it could be washed off. So here I said to them, see, I told you, St. Anthony, every single time. With that, the phone rings. My girlfriend tells me, she says, Bern, you're not going to believe this. I said, you found that card. And she said, I did. How do you know that? I said, because my pocketbook just arrived at the door. And she said, do you know where we were today? And I said, no. I said, yeah, at the healing center. She said, Bern, that was St. Anthony of Padua's Parish.
Wow.
So wow. It was like, just like, whoa.
Thank you, Bernadette. Thank you. Kate, you know exactly what that feels like.
Yeah, that's crazy. I've got goosebumps all over.
Well, we have yet another story about a saint. In fact, yet another Saint Teresa Little Flower story. Lupe is joining us from Hillside, New Jersey. Lupe, good morning. Welcome to Morning Air.
Guys, actually, I was heading to the doctor, and I turned the radio on like I always do, and I heard you guys talking about stories about saints that have shown themselves in a miracle or answer a prayer, and I was hoping I was in the right topic. So I called in really quick. I wanted to say, in December of 2002, I was struggling with my sister. She had had three strokes consecutively every year, and that was her third stroke. And I was dealing with a very hard decision. They had told me I had to think about intubating my sister for the rest of her life or to let her go. And I was struggling with that decision, and I remember sitting night after night for 2 weeks praying to three of my favorite saints. One of them is Our Lady Mary in the person of Guadalupe. Then there was St. Jude, the impossible saint, and then St. Teresa of the Little Flower. And I would sit every night and pray for guidance. What do I do? What do I do with this decision? Because it was breaking my heart. And then December 25th, we had a major, massive snowstorm in the area, full of ice, very tragically to drive out there. And I had been in the hospital. I was heading home that one night, and it was frozen outside. When I got to the front door of my house, there was a little rosebud dead on my front step. And I said to my husband, oh, dear Lord, we just got our answer. It's not what I want to hear, but we just got an answer. She always answers, and Teresa always answers with a rose from heaven. But this one was a dead bud in the middle of December in a snowstorm. And the following day, December 26th, my sister would have been 63. She died.
Wow.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. So I have no doubt that she answered my prayer. It wasn't exactly the way that I would have wanted to go, but it was an answered prayer of, she's not going to make it. Take this off your shoulders. I heard your prayer.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Lupe.
Wow.
Kate, your thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, I just the chills that the way the saints can come through for us and give us peace, even in the most difficult moments. I mean, I can't imagine having to try and make that decision, but then having that knowing that she was going to be in heaven, your sister, with these saints.
And the funny thing is, if I'm one of the nurses that was sitting by my sister, she said to me that same day before I left the hospital, she says to me, Jesus is right here with her. He's just waiting for you to let go. And when she passed on her birthday, like now when I go to the cemetery and I see the tombstone and it says December 26, 1939, to December 26, 2002. And they say to me, you do know there's a party in heaven. All the saints are singing with her because there's no more proof than to show you she died on her birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Lupe. Thank you for that beautiful, very powerful reminder of the cloud of witnesses that we have as Catholics. Kate, in the last couple minutes that we have, a quick word, especially for our separated brothers and sisters who think we Catholics adore or worship saints, especially the Blessed Mother. And of course, that's not true. How do you explain our love and our devotion to the saints?
Yeah, I alluded to it earlier. What I tell my non-Catholic friends is just like when you're going through a hard moment in your life and you might send an email or a text out or post something on Facebook and say, I'm just asking all of my fellow Christians for prayers. You know, you ask your fellow Christians and fellow people that you know to pray for you during difficult times and to send their thoughts and prayers your way. Well, as Catholics, we have these people who are extremely close to God, these saints, these holy people, and we're doing the same thing. We're just asking them to pray. And with Mary in particular, I always tell people, you know, she was, her fiat, her yes was the ladder to salvation. She's what put Jesus on the cross. And, you know, who's closer to Jesus than the person who carried him in her womb? And we're all called to bring Jesus into the world just like she did. And we can turn to her and pray for her and ask for her intercession. So to me, it's just that's an easy way of explaining it, that we're not, of course, we're praying to God as well, but we're asking these holy people that are so close to him to bring our prayers even closer, you know, because they're right with him. And so it's just like asking a holy person here on this earth, a friend, to pray for you. We're asking the saints and the Queen of all saints to pray for us.
Amen. Well, Kate, we're going to have to leave it right there. There's so much more that we could talk about, but thank you so much for being with us here this morning to talk about all the things that we can learn about the lives of the saints and their virtues in our family life. Thank you, Kate Wicker, for being with us.
Yeah, thank you so much. Have a great day. God bless you.
Kate Wicker, journalist and speaker, mom of five kids, as well as a Morning Air contributor. And now it's time for another edition of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is called Going to Trial. Gold is one of the most valuable materials on earth. It's been used for centuries as money, but it also has many uses in industry, manufacturing, even spaceflight. One of the traits that makes gold so useful is that it can be shaped and formed so easily. In fact, a single ounce of gold can be flattened out to cover 300 square feet. But gold ore dug out of the ground contains many other elements that must be removed prior to the gold being useful. The refining process for gold involves intense heat. Gold melts at a temperature of almost 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit. That incredibly high temperature is required for gold to be ready to be used. The Christian life involves much the same process. Sometimes we're surprised when bad things happen to good people. But the scripture tells us that fiery trials are part of God's refining process for our lives. Rather than griping or complaining when trials come, we should rejoice as we think of the end result they'll produce. From James 1:12, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he stood the test, he'll receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him.
Thanks so much, Glenn. And of course, you can download every episode of Glenn's Story Corner on the Relevant Radio app. If you have a story idea, just email us at morningair@relevantradio.com. You can pray the Chapel of Divine Mercy at 3 p.m. Central with your prayers and petitions on the Drew Mariani Show as well. That'll do it on this edition of Morning Air. For Glenn Leverins and the entire Morning Air team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. The Patrick Madrid Show is straight ahead. Let your light shine before all. We'll see you tomorrow.